Hello and welcome to the Harn Hill Centre's Way of Life podcast. This recording is part of a series where we explore different aspects of how we believe God calls us as followers of Jesus Christ. In this episode, we will explore the topic of God's love. We can only really scratch the surface of such an important subject, but I hope that you'll find it thought-provoking and encouraging. Once again, Matt and Tilly Taylor have recorded music especially for us, and Mike Stranks takes charge of the audio editing. Simon and Marlon, who live and work at Harn Hill, offer readings, and Mo Carroll reflects on how God has been at work in her life. Thanks to each one of them for contributing. We'll now hear from Marlon as he reads from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12.
Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us.
Talk about the ministry we offer here at Harn Hill. We often refer to Psalm 103, which is worth looking up. It speaks of God's action of love, which is at work in our lives, and we describe this as the circle of God's love. Exploring scripture further, God is described as the essence of love. God is love. And scripture also directs us to love God with our whole being and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And we see that love is absolutely central to the Christian faith. It seems that my tutor at theological college was onto something when he said, if the only thing we learned whilst training was how much God loves us, then that was all that we would need to inspire and inform our future ministry. What he was getting at was that we needed knowledge through personal experience that God's love is available to everyone. And this should be our main message as we support others through the ups and downs of everyday life. There is something about experiencing love, which is a bit like oil in an engine. It helps everything to run a lot more smoothly. A secular writer, Greg Bayer, in his book called Real Love, says that real love is absolutely essential to the health of our souls, just as vitamins and minerals are essential to the health of our bodies. It is such a deep need and desire, but many are leading their lives seeking poor substitutes of the real thing. In a nutshell, he says that humans have a tendency to lead their lives seeking love, but misplacing that desire and seeking love by unloving means. This unhealthy dynamic impacts relationships because the love isn't love at all, and he describes it as imitation love. Imitation love always has requirements from the other, seeking something back. Imitation love, he says, might be more about looking for feelings of acceptance, or for pleasure, safety, and even power. And there are many examples in our world of imitation love, and there are many people imitating love. Greg Bayer explains that in the absence of real love, we go for imitation love because of the emptiness and pain inside. And there are behaviours which are a natural response to this. Firstly, under the heading of getting behaviours, where there can be an element of clinging to try and fill our emptiness. There are also protecting or coping behaviours. But instead of clinging, we use protecting behaviours, which might involve running away just to eliminate our fear of not being loved. Christians are not immune to imitation love or behaving in ways that cling or run away. But as we teach at Harne Hill, these behaviours come from our wounds and where we've not as yet experienced God's redeeming, healing and sanctifying love. One of the ways to test how real our love towards someone else is if when the other person doesn't give us what we want, we might become overly disappointed or angry at them. Our relationship isn't able to withstand normal and natural differences in our personalities and preferences. And so we criticise and complain or explode or keep the resentment inside and withdraw. And we might give the other person sort of silent, angry treatment. This is because our love has been steeped with conditions. Our love has included behaviours that say, if I do this and be like this, I expect you to do or be like that. Because we have placed conditions, the loving feelings disappear as soon as our requirements are not met or are threatened by the other. However, real love always reaches out to one another without conditions and always seeks the best for the other. Let's listen to a section of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. It's quite well known. This version's from the Passion Translation. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honour. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offence. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. It's good to recognise that we should be patient, loving and kind towards one another, keeping no record of wrongs and not getting jealous. But also to recognise that left to our own devices, this can be very challenging. We're not terribly good at it. We might have moments when we think we've got it cracked, but this tends to not last long. In fact, if we use this Corinthians reading as a measurement, we would all fall short in some areas. The only person who could measure up perfectly was Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we see him as truly loving, patient and kind, keeping no record of wrongs. There's no jealousy, no pride. He didn't dishonour others. And he wasn't self-seeking or easily angered, and he kept no record of wrongs. And if we read the gospel accounts, Jesus was the opposite of most of the religious leaders he was coming up against. They were the kind of religious people that were the resounding gongs and the clanging cymbals, which basically means that faith is nothing without love. Faith in Jesus, true faith, cannot exist without love. In recent months, I've been asking the team at Harne Hill how we can really know and understand that God loves us. And I'm asking this question to stretch all of us to reflect on what it is that we truly believe. I guess I'm returning to the words of my tutor at college. It's so easy for beliefs to stay in our heads and not really penetrate our hearts. But the knowledge of God's love is vital. And it might take a lifetime of learning and living into. It's often with hindsight that we see God's faithfulness and we begin to understand the circle of God's love surrounding us and embracing our lives. And this growing understanding helps us on the journey ahead and when we face new or significant challenges. Mo is a member of our prayer team, and she shares a few words with us now about how God has been at work in her life during the past couple of years.
3 years ago, at the grand old age of 70, my husband and I moved to Bournemouth from Swindon, where we had lived for 50 years. It was initially to live nearer our daughter and to enjoy our retirement. God knew it was right, my husband knew it was right, but I was very fearful. I read Psalm 46, verse 10, which said to me, "Be still and know that I am God." This helped a bit, as I thought God was telling me just to trust him. He was in charge. Well, we downsized big time. Everything looked unfriendly and unfamiliar. I joined the local church. It had an Alpha course advertised. I'd never done an Alpha course before, so I thought, oh, I'll do it. This was the time when I seen an intervention by God. I read Proverbs 12, verse 9, and it said to me, "Many are the plans in the mind, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." That was me told. The church was part of a benefice, so I also had an invitation to one of the other churches in that benefice. After 6 months, I belonged to two Bible studies, good Bible studies. I could see that God was looking after me. As the virus closed churches, WhatsApp groups sprung up, Zoom groups became more available. God was reaching out even though his church buildings were being closed. As the churches slowly opened, people that had been online met up, friendships were made, classes resumed cautiously. Brilliant how God draws people together just by the reading of his words, supporting each other, even though through lockdowns and with the help of computers, God was working among us all. A couple of years down the line, and here we are, loving the area, loving the friends that we have made, being even more involved in church life than ever before in Swindon. I'm still involved with Harne Hill and outside prayer ministry. Using the valuable training I've received during my time at Harne Hill. Also, I'm on the local pastoral team here in Bournemouth in one of their retreats. How do I know that God has impacted my life? Oh, I know, because after 52 years of Christianity, attending church on my own every Sunday, except those years while I was bringing my children up within the church. It's been my prayer for those years that Ollie, my husband, would hear that voice that never gives up. As it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Thank you.
Greater is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love would not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout hell's eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. And hence peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love would not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout hell's eternal days.
If you have ever wondered about God's calling on your life, I think that for each one of us, our calling is to welcome and to receive God's love, which never gives up on us, and then to pass it on to others wherever we find ourselves. This is our deepest calling, to love God and to love others. That's our meaning, our purpose and our ministry, whoever it is that we find ourselves journeying along with. But we do need to acknowledge our tendency to seek imitation love and to bring ourselves before the Lord for healing, because when we're in Christ, we will start to behave a little more like him, including becoming more loving. So far, I've been using the words real love, but I feel like I need to underline it in some way. His love, God's love, is divine love, which completely supersedes anything else. And I don't have words to describe it fully. His love is of the purest form. It is holy. What I do know is that we don't have to earn it in any way. It's not conditional. It's not manipulative. God doesn't have to work at being more loving. God is love. And the Lord doesn't offer or withdraw love depending on how well we've behaved or by what we achieve. And his love is always looking to the very best for us. Because of who he is, his love can only be pure. And nothing can separate us from that love of God. And St. Paul lists a whole load of things that could be a barrier but isn't. And it says in Romans chapter 8, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul didn't say that he hopes this is the case. He said he was convinced of it. The original Greek word he used translates as having become convinced and remaining convinced. John Stott wrote about God's love, and he said, that our confidence is not in our love for him, which is frail, fickle, and faltering, but in his love for us, which is steadfast, faithful, and persevering. And so as Christians, as followers of Jesus, the insecurity that we may feel at times, well, perhaps that's not an issue with our faith, but actually more of an issue with our trust. We believe God exists, but do we really trust that he is a God of love? When trust is in place, it means that the truth of God's love has made its way from our heads into our hearts. And so whatever our difficulties, whatever our sin, whatever our doubt, God's love is steadfast. And his love meant that Jesus, his son, went to the cross and died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came to us because God so loved the world, and that's the key, that's the motive. Scripture doesn't say that he so tolerated the world he gave his only son. He gave his son because of his love. And Jesus walks with us. His Holy Spirit dwells within us. And so as we look at the empty cross, it may be a symbol of death, but it is a much more powerful symbol of love. Love is a powerful force that even overcame death in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what love did. Just take a moment to think about God's love for you. Can you imagine being so loved that even when you sort of went after imitation love, God is just compassionate towards us? Can you imagine such a level of unconditional love that you no longer need to strive or to hide? When we experience that kind of unconditional love, it brings such healing and freedom. And that's why it's so important for us to love one another and to express God's heart of love. And it's vital for the health of our communities, including here at the Harne Hill Centre. Healing comes when we reflect God's love. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, some may feel just too unworthy of God's love, but I think I can imagine God saying, great, that's the perfect qualification to receive my grace. Come and join the rest of the unworthy. You're going to fit right in. I loved you before you were born anyway. I do so want you to come home. Do you know that you were my idea in the first place? I've not changed my mind. But while you make up your mind about me, let me show you something really important, because if you look properly, it will give you hope. Look at what my son did for you. Really look. As I've been speaking, you might have begun to clock that you've been seeking imitation love and not always divine love. Just allow that to surface and ask God to show you his divine love in a way that you can understand it. Or maybe there's someone in your life and you just find it so difficult to love them. Well, do invite God to help you in that. Here's some really helpful advice, which will be read to us by Simon.
Listen to the voice of gentle love by Henri Nouwen. Listen to your heart. It's there that Jesus speaks most intimately to you. Praying is first and foremost listening to Jesus, who dwells in the very depths of your heart. He doesn't shout. He doesn't thrust himself upon you. His voice is an unassuming voice, very nearly a whisper, the voice of a gentle love. Whatever you do with your life, go on listening to the voice of Jesus in your heart. This listening must be an active and very attentive listening. For in our restless and noisy world, God's so loving voice is easily drowned out. You need to set aside some time every day for this active listening to God, if only for 10 minutes. 10 minutes each day for Jesus alone can bring about a radical change in your life. You'll find it isn't easy to be still for 10 minutes at a time. You'll discover straight away that many other voices that are very noisy and distracting, voices that do not come from God, demand your attention. But if you stick to your daily prayer time, then slowly but surely you'll come to hear the gentle voice of love and will long more and more to listen to it.
Well, what wise advice to finish with there. Just taking time to sit with God, maybe just a short time to start with, to enable that space to receive God's love, to allow God's love to change us, to bless us, to heal us and to set us free. Mike Stranks will now lead us in a time of prayer.
Lord, it seems that you are so madly in love with your creatures that you could not live without us. So you created us, and then, when we turned away from you, you redeemed us. Yet you are God, and so have no need of us. Your greatness is made no greater by our creation. Your power is made no stronger by our redemption. You have no duty to care for us, no debt to repay to us. It is love and love alone which moves you. Lord, I know that one of the best ways I can show my love for you is by loving other people. Sometimes this is easy, when I'm with people I like. Please help me when loving is hard, when people are unkind, when they don't understand, when I just don't like them. Teach me to love as you loved when you were here among us. Teach me to love as you love now. Everyone. Always. Grant, O Lord, that your love may so fill our lives that we may count nothing too small to do for you, nothing too much to give, and nothing too hard to bear. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you. As we draw this podcast to a close, thank you to all who have contributed once again to this recording. We really hope that you found it helpful. May our Lord bless you with renewed strength as you walk with him along the way, with a deepening sense of God's love for you, and a confident hope that the same power which was at work through Jesus is at work in your life too. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
Servants to the love that brought us here.